Well, I kind of it kind of gets back to this thing where you come out of life with no boundaries and life is just throwing you around. And in my case, I had demons coming out of me. I was had panic attacks. I saw this man that would follow me around, which
Yes.
was completely in my imagination. And
Mm-hmm.
it was just all this post-traumatic stress. Of course, I had no idea that that's what it was. But my life was just crashing and burning. So I think I look back and I think, well, I had no choice. I couldn't even function. And I had two little kids and I was not going to let their lives be damaged by me. I just was not going to let it happen. And so that's when I realized, and then it finally I allowed it in my daily life that I had been molested by my father. And I had no idea before that. I kept it completely away from my consciousness. And I think, then I was absolutely devastated and I had to do it. It was either that or commit suicide and die. I
You
mean,
know,
there was.
I think our mental capacity starts failing us, doesn't it? We don't have enough mental capacity to keep it down
Just can't
and
keep it down any
can't keep
longer.
it down any longer.
I think that's how I felt, like was sink or swim, I don't know if I didn't have kids looking at me and needing a mommy, I don't know how, if I would have gotten through it because it was
Yes, I
so
always say that to
hard.
my kids. Yeah, I don't know if I would have had enough love for myself.
Yes, for myself, that's right.
Exactly. I
That's
don't know if I
right.
would have had enough love. But Kevin certainly found the love for himself. Kevin, talk to us a little bit about what that looked like for you when you said, I'm going to step into healing and it's time.
So, I'm overly transparent. So I got to the point of promiscuity where I was a nymphomaniac. And I did not want to be that person. And I knew that sex had overtaken my life. And each time I would feel more guilty, more condemned, and miserable. And I'm like, why do I keep, repeating this and hurting myself? And I knew I was in trouble when I would say, okay, I'm not going out tonight under any circumstances. 2 or 3 hours later, guess where I'm at? Where I shouldn't be. And so I knew that it was going to take a divine strength to help me. Now, I did not get delivered in that moment, but I think God was setting it up like, okay, he's finally, coming to his senses. And I said, God, I don't know how I got here, but I mean, we really do know how we got there because we continue in sin, and then it overtakes us. We think we're stronger than what we are.
Well, in
No,
our
you can't play
childhood,
with the devil. You can't play with
right.
none of his stuff. But I'm talking about as an adult. I knew
Right.
right from wrong, and I knew that
Right.
there was a such thing as deliverance, but I didn't wholeheartedly seek it. So when when it overtook me, I said, God, I don't know when and I don't know how, but you got to help me. And it was a little bit after that that it finally happened. So for me, I had a divine encounter. And when I say divine encounter, it's like one night I went to bed. Nope, let me take this back. How it all started. I was going to marry a man, and we were going to move out of state to a gay-affirming state, and get married and adopt a kid and buy a dog and buy a house, the whole nine yards. But for some reason, I didn't feel 100% confident about it. I said, this is strange. When I went to bed, I said, am I making the right decision? Because as a child being abused, I know that your decisions not only affect you. So I said, should I be marrying a man? Should I buy a house with a man? Should I raise a child as two men? It was just all these questions. And I said, Lord, what's the right thing to do? And why did I ask that? The next
I'm
day,
sorry
I
I
had a
laughed.
divine. Listen, Jody, why did I ask that? The next day, When I woke up, I had clear vision. When I say clear, I'm not talking about natural. I'm talking about spiritual. I understood what Jesus meant, and I heard from the Holy Spirit clear. It was like a miracle. And I knew that lifestyle was not right for me. I said, I don't have a heaven or hell to put somebody else in, but I'm only telling you my personal convictions. I knew that that lifestyle was not right, and it goes against the order and the creation of God. And so I said, you got to help me with this. And he said, I'm going to bring you out of it. He said, and I'm going to use you and your story to help so many people get free, because everybody in that lifestyle does not necessarily want to be in it. They don't know how to come out of it. And then there's the lies that people have been told, that God made you this way. Once gay, always gay. It doesn't matter who you love, you know, live your truth. All that stuff is not, that's not God's plan. And I'm going to say this and I'm going to be done. If God's in, okay, everything God does is life, right? So he said, be fruitful and multiply. Did he not say that? How can two men or two women be fruitful and multiply? They can't. They're trying to create it scientifically now, but that's not what God created. So you can't undo what he's already created. But I'm saying that to say, if everybody lived their truth and decided to do women with women and men with men, society would cease. There would be no fruit. There would be, the earth would depopulate. So when God gave me that truth, it just blew my mind. Because I said, he said, can two men produce the life that I said to be multiple, you know, to multiply? I said, no. He said, well, then I couldn't possibly be in it. He said, I couldn't have possibly created something that goes against my plan for mankind. I said, whoa.
And, you know, I love when you said, Jody, why did I ask? I think the reason we ask God for help is because just that we need help. And we know that it's outside of our strength. I know I have found myself in situations,
completely out.
You know what I mean? Just drunk and with married men and going to work with hangovers or still drunk and really, really needed help outside of what I could do. You know, who I am today is not who I've always been. And so, you know what? I'd ask God. Or I wouldn't ask God if I wanted to stay where I was, because I knew he'd help me. Like, I had this sense that he would help me, and he did indeed help me. It's not an overnight transformation, and I certainly had to show up and put my work in. But I just have to smile when you said, Jody, why did I ask? Because I know I've asked too. And sometimes in my mind, I go back and forth and think about the drastic changes in my life that he has helped me complete that I could have never done on my own. I don't know. It's kind of like, Carol, what you were just saying. I don't know who I would have been had he not intervened. Mm-hmm. And I've seen him consistently come find me, even sometimes when I didn't ask. And I'm so thankful for that. So anyway, I just had to go back to that, Kevin, because I love your spirit around that. Because it's like, why did I ask? But you know, the truth is where I don't think we feel satisfied and whole there. I mean, I could have continued to kept finding another person to get into some terrible relationship with. And what that did was make me where I didn't have to really look at my own past, you guys. It kept me running. And so my healing took so much longer because I was constantly running and recreating my abuse instead of stopping my abuse and then making choices as a result of what I chose.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I totally agree. There's a, you know, the thing with the victimhood is that we have to be accountable for anything. If everything is somebody else's fault, and oh, what they did, oh, they did this and that,
100%.
And I can't find love. And, you know, that's an escape goat. Because in every relationship outside of being abused, we teach people how to treat us. Mm-hmm. If you let the man knock you upside the head one time, what you think he gonna keep doing? So there's a, I'm not excusing it or saying abuse is okay in any circumstance. It's not. But a lot of times we allow this stuff and then we want to play the victim. You have a choice of who you lay down with. You have a choice to have this person in life or to block them. You know what I mean? Block, delete,
restraining order. Right. In my life, I have to say, I think what God does is give us clear definitions of left or right. And then we have to choose that left or right. And I have to say, actually, in my own life, too, I've had to exercise my right because I've wanted to use my deep pain and my cavern of bullshit that I came from to say, I can't. Mm-hmm. You have to give me an out because I can't. And I'm angry. And I'm going to get drunk tonight because I'm angry. I'm in pain. So I'm going to work it out this way. And you have no idea what it feels like. I could go on and on and on with all of the excuses until finally the pain was overtaking me and I couldn't take the pain anymore. And for me, it was wanting to pop that bubble of pain that kind of led me on. But I do hear what you're saying. It's hard. In the beginning of my life, it was so tucked away when I was 18 to 35, my abuse, it was kind of there, but really it wasn't because I was raising children and it was really on the back burner. And I lived with a very abusive man. And so I was always running around serving him and cooking dinner. And by the time I got done, Jody didn't exist, which was the whole point. I didn't want to exist. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's more complicated than that. But certainly as we get older, we do learn the distinctions of that or where I just kept going more alone, you guys. The older I got, the more I was alone. And I got into counseling because I didn't know how to have relationships because I'd never seen what it looked like. And I kept picking bad relationships.
Yeah. But I think in general, we all hit our rock bottom.
I think so.
Whether it was from addiction, whether it was, you know, just a level of pain that we just couldn't handle anymore and couldn't keep down, like you said, Jody, you know?
Exactly.
So I think it's all that similar thing, but you don't look at this sexual abuse unless you, by God, have to. I mean,
I agree.
It's so difficult and so painful, but yet I think it's that scale, you know, the pain of holding it down versus the pain of looking at it. And at some point, the pain of looking at it looks better than the holding it down. You know, I think our subconscious is looking for that. And then you start getting better. And so that's really a miracle in our lives when we start, you know, looking at it.
I think it's true. And the thing is that I want to do is I want to be sure to leave a lot of grace around that because we really are a mess in our mind. The convictions can't be so strong when you're so confused, you don't even know how to get out of the paper bag.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And so I really want to leave a lot of grace for that because I don't want to act like, oh, you know, I knew and I didn't do what was right. A lot of times, like when I talked about that story about cheating on my husband after 3 months, you know what, you guys, after I'd been beaten for 18 years, I didn't know any different. And God is my witness. No. I just went. People can believe that or not, but we are on autopilot.
Oh, yeah.
And because I was then hurt by him, I didn't do it again because, of course, I knew it was wrong, but then I feared him. And so then I just took my prison gear and gave it to him and then just showed up in his prison, right? So,
yeah, you know, that's so, right. No, and I don't blame anybody when they're not looking at it because I know, you know, I certainly didn't look at it for, you know, whole lot of even my adulthood it's not that you're saying to yourself, gee, it's here and I'm just not going to face it. You're just living, you know, you're just coping as best you can and getting through day by day until you can't.
And you know, Kevin, I guess that's the thing that I want to hear or I want your heart to understand too, is because of this horribly graphic abuse, sexual abuse that you received from your father, that commingled in everything good in your life. And so I just always love to bring that grace because God is also full of grace and love. Like the end result of everything he does is say, I get it, son. Just like you, he brought you understanding for your father, that understanding for ourselves that I can forgive myself, which actually that kind of tears me up because it's really hard to forgive myself for some of the things that I've done and for not being the mother that I could have been. But to bring that grace and that love to those areas where we really couldn't do better than we could do sometimes. Kevin, do you believe that that's true? Trying to find his mute button.
Yeah.
Carol, what do you think about that? Isn't it hard to forgive ourselves?
I think it's the hardest thing. Yeah.
And you know, and I don't know why, right?
Like, and I deal with that daily. I think that self-love that, you know, that is such an important movement that's going on now that I never really considered, I don't think, in my life.
Right.
And I deal a lot with food addiction still. And to love myself through that is so, so difficult.
Carol, we all struggle with things always. I can do really good and then I drink too much wine because I just want to let go. Like we all do, and let's not BS that we don't.
Right.
Because that's just white knuckling life and it's not reality. And so that's the other beautiful thing to talk about, right? But keep going. Every time what I'm learning to do with myself, if I wake up with a hangover because I've had one too many glasses of wine, you know what I do? God loves you, Jody, and love yourself right now. Because we have to just keep putting more good in. Instead of like, we would just want to dump bad on, make ourselves feel condemnation. Only love changes things. I am such a believer that condemnation doesn't change anything. Trying harder doesn't change anything, but pouring more good in does.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And forgiving yourself.
Yes.
Why is that hard? I mean, I can forgive everybody around me, but forgiving myself. And we've all made horrible, horrible mistakes in our lives and done things for years and years that were not productive. And it's human nature, you know, and we're all made imperfectly, you know.
Oh, aren't we are such imperfect, creatures.
Yes, but we're very imperfect.
I think the one thing that really protects me from being harsh on myself is to know that God knows my whole story.
Yeah.
Even better than I do. You know, we talk about some of the abuse that we don't remember. Carol and I were talking about both of our brothers coming to us and telling us that they'd done things to us. And while I remember some things, I don't remember it all. I really believe with everything in me that God knows my story better and he has such compassion and love. That's what changes me.
Yeah.
That's what makes me want to live a healthier, better lifestyle. And, you know, we all are going to struggle doing that, but that compassion changes us, right?
Yeah, it is. It's. And that, and like you say, forgiving what we participated in is really hard because it's so against our value system, against everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't hurt my kids, you know, in that way at all. And it's so hard to think I did this horrible stuff. Yeah. Yeah. That's one of the hardest things I think in recovery is really forgiving just the sexual abuse, you know, just what happened. Yeah.
Are you there with us now, Kevin? Oh, his mic isn't working.
Oh, okay. No.
Oh boy. I think your mic isn't working.
Technical difficulties.
We're having and I really want to hear what he had to say about that. Because it's a beautiful thing. I wonder, no, we can't hear you now.
What's this? Signal. I don't know.
That's okay. You know what? We can get his sound back on because we can cut this part out. It's fine.
Okay. But yeah, I think, you know, that it's very difficult to see yourself as a child and how complacent you were, you know, how do you forgive how complacent we were? And so why it's so important to be talking about it because we all were complacent, you know?
And what's funny is I've heard some people say, I interviewed this one lady and she said, my father came home that day and I looked at him and I said, no, you're not going to do it again. And he never did it again to her. Wow. And I thought, oh my gosh, it never even occurred to me to say that. Mm-hmm. 'Cause my asker was so broken. Mm-hmm. I couldn't ask for anything. You know what I mean?
No.
And so I've not been hard on myself, but I'll tell you, Carol, I've heard a few people say that. Even Kevin has a story about that, where mm-hmm. his father asked him to go one step further when he gets older and he says no. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think, boy, that never even entered my mind to say no, because I didn't have a choice.
It also gets to, these really are not powerful men. These are people that are abusing. They may look powerful, right? They look strong or angry and we're terrified. But some of them, you might be able to just push over. And so, that's so you know, true.
Dad was 5'8" and 155 when I was a kid, maybe.
Yeah. You know, that's funny. My father was too. He was just about 5'8" and a thin little guy. But I think, you know, not even physically standing up to them, but who knows? Maybe if I had really stood up and said something, he would have just tottered away. We don't know that, but
we don't know that. Kevin, are you back with us? Can we hear you now?
Oh my God. See, I had this brainstorm that I was going to switch over to my laptop, but it didn't go so successfully.
Well, you know what? It looked great. You look great on there.
I should have just left it like it was.
That's okay.
Yeah, I should have. It was something I wanted to say, but I lost my thought. You guys had hit on a good something.
Well, what we were talking about was that compassion for ourselves and how God knows our entire story. And that it's his love that changes us. And he does know that we get lost in our story. And sometimes we're doing the best that we can. I really think that that's true. You know, like the time after that I left, I was saying and went home with that man. Well, that was wrong. And did I know the difference? Yes. I was so in compliance. I really did just leave with him because I didn't know any better. I mean, it's weird. Yes, I knew it was wrong, but I just went. And
you were 18.
The dysfunction really becomes your normal.
People
don't understand it if they haven't been in that. They don't get it. Now, this is what I wanted to say. I don't know why God makes me this transparent like this. I don't like it, but I have to be obedient. One of the things that kept me in that was the guilt, the fear, and the condemnation of knowing that what I was doing is wrong. And when I say guilt, nobody talks about this part, but sex feels good. Even though I was doing ungodly things with the person that I should have never been in that situation with, there was an aspect of it that felt good.
100%.
And I never wanted to be honest with myself and say that, because I'm not agreeing with the violation of a son and a father, but it feels good to be touched. Mm-hmm. It feels good to have an orgasm. It feels good to do sexual things.
Right.
So that was a whole, you know, that was something that I had to be honest with myself and said there was an aspect of it that I liked, even though it was as perverse as it was. Who doesn't like to be touched? And so on and so forth. So I had to forgive. I'm going somewhere with this. With all that guilt and all the shame and the secrecy and the victimization, I had to not only forgive my father, but I have to forgive myself for the roles that I played in it. And then remember, I had to take authority over that because I didn't want to become the person that he was. Remember, I had the little incident. So in the back of my mind, I had to always, I'm not going to say fight because I really didn't have a struggle with it because I always dated my own age. But I became a master manipulator.
I understand that.
Any man that I wanted, 9 out of 10, there might be a few failed attempts on the records, but 9 out of 10, I would do whatever it took to get them, buy them weed, get them drunk.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not even going to go into all the tactics, but
women have a whole tool belt too.
Yeah. It was a 90% successful mission. Mm-hmm. So I realized, you know, in all my gettings and in all my conquests, I was never, but I also realized that I had toxic traits, you know, so I couldn't really look down on my father because in a way I exhibit those same characteristics, maybe not abusing kids, but abusing grown men, taking advantage of them when they're drunk and, you know, the gay for pay guys. And, it's a whole laundry list, but thank God I'm out of that.
Right.
Now.
And that's exactly when you had technical difficulties, what we were talking about was finding that space and the place and the mercy, because God's throne has all of those things, to forgive ourselves and really move in that forgiveness. Because I really believe the thing that changes us is love, right? And that constantly pouring in of better, you know, because we were talking about the struggles that we all still have. And Carol talked about eating too much. I was talking about having, you know, two or three glasses of wine too much. Some, you know, all of these things that we still struggle with, because life is, we are broken humanity trying to just make it through this place. Yeah. And so I just like to bring, you know, that grace around it, because it's true. You know, I mean, we can try to white knuckle it, and then, you know, it's not about how many times it doesn't work. I love that. This is what's so beautiful about getting together with other warrior survivors and just talking the truth about it. And I know that our conversations help other people, because our vulnerability is something that millions of people cannot do. And I hear often, thank you so much for the courage to do it, because it does take courage. And I thank both of you guys for being here tonight and, you know, having the vulnerability. We have really, it's so beautiful. And I know that God is really using these conversations. The panels are really successful. I've watched the numbers just grow and grow and grow. And so I think it's really beautiful to have a community where we come together and talk about this. So we are well at time. I like to leave it with just a little bit. If you guys would like to, if you think that we left off anything tonight, this has just been a beautiful discussion. Kevin, we'll definitely have you back. I just love listening to you. It's so, like Carol said, we really honor that you have the courage to stand up, because there's so few men that do. I mean, I've interviewed a few of them, but I tell you, there are few and far between. When they do talk, but you know what's interesting, you guys, is that I have more men save my videos than women do. If the name is so it seems like that. And we also have a large following of men. So that tells me that where else are they going to go, right? For vulnerability. Yeah. And this is not a secret what we're doing, because we were victimized. You know what I mean? We need to change the vernacular. When you get in a car crash and you break your leg, what do? You go tell everybody, because it was such a violent act and you need to share it. Oh. It's exactly the same thing with childhood sexual abuse. We need to share it, right?
Because it is a car crash.
It is. It's a terrible car wreck.
The horrible car wreck. Yeah. That's right.
It's a horrible car wreck.
Well, absolutely. It was a pleasure. And I really appreciated everybody's honesty and
very good.
And meeting you, Kevin. It was great. So thank you so much, Jody.
Yes, absolutely. Kevin, do you have any closing words you'd like to leave?
Likewise. Great meeting you too, Carol and Jody. You're my girl. You know, I just want people to know, I think what I started out saying in the very beginning, you know, a lot of people have experienced trauma in their childhood and they never talk about it. They never get the healing. You deserve to be free.
Yes.
You deserve to be happy.
Yes.
You deserve to live and rise above what has happened. And the two ways to do that is to forgive the offender. I know it's not easy, and to forgive yourself. And choose to be happy, choose to live in freedom, choose to let the past be the past, and know that you didn't have control as a child, but as an adult, you have the control. So if you want to be happy, you have to shift your mindset. You can't think like a victim and expect any different result. Mm-hmm. And the key is spirituality. And I'm not talking about New Age and candles and floaty boaties and
or religion.
I'm not sage. Use the sage in your dressing. Amen. I'm talking about a bona fide relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the road to happiness, to deliverance, to peace. Everything that you've been searching for in the drugs, in the sex, in the alcohol, in the buying all these designer bags and all this luxurious stuff, it only brings a certain level of contentment. The only true peace is being spiritually grounded and to have a relationship with God. And I say that because when we leave this earth, the Gucci bag is not going with us. The boyfriend, the girlfriend is not going with us. The six-room mansion is not going with us. So we have to live a life that will, we have to live a life that when we die, we're going somewhere. Even scientists will tell you that the soul, it never dies. So we're going somewhere. And I pray that you find that, I pray that you have an encounter with the Lord so that you can make heaven your home. That's all I got.
I love it. I love you both. You guys have a beautiful time. We're going to talk soon because we're going to do this again. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye, ladies. God bless you.
God bless.